This episode is brought to you by Mellini's 2021 Autumn Range. Mellini offers it all. From everyday boots to urban-style combat boots, you're sure to find something that suits your personal style.
This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate, and Sophie Tauber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions, so sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment, and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
It's been a bit of a busy week for you, Amy, because not only have you worked full time, but you have also got the dreaded notification that you were up for a rental inspection.
Yes. Oh my gosh. My heart dropped because I remember back in the day when Kate, Sophie and I used to live with each other, we used to just be so upset when we got these reminders because I suppose this is a bit of a story time, but we used to have the worst landlord and we used to have to spend probably, I'd say, what, like 20 hours cleaning for a house inspection?
It was usually the whole weekend. And then we would be cleaning right up into the night, the day before, and then in the morning as well. And I mean, I do think it was because we were hoarders and had a lot of stuff.
Oh, I know. I was about to point out that it's not because we were really, really dirty. It's because these people had incredibly high and ridiculous expectations.
Yeah. And when you say high expectations, these people expected us to use car polish on the tiles.
They literally had a manual and they explained how to clean everything. So there was, it was probably about 2 pages explaining how to clean tiles and grout.
Do you remember that time we had that phone call from the landlord and he didn't realize that we had 2 cats on the property? And let's be honest, everybody lies about having pets. Because you just can't get a rental otherwise.
It's just a white lie.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember he rung Kate and he's like, "Do you own a cat?" And Kate's like, "Of course we don't own a cat." And then he's like, "You own a cat?" And Kate's like, "We don't." And he's like, "You do." And Kate's like, "Okay, yeah, we do." And she left a photo up of her and our cat, Bentley.
Oh, it could have been mum and dad's cat. Like, they don't know that. I feel like they probably found fur because our cats molt so much. It's actually ridiculous. They're rag dolls, and I've never known a cat to have fur like they do. Mm.
This real estate agent was an absolute creep, though. I remember we were there during one of the inspections, and we wanted to keep an eye on him because basically they had this long-running issue about our carpet, and it was the cheapest carpet upstairs and on the staircase. So we were trying to keep an eye on him. So he didn't know that we could see, but he walked upstairs, and he was trying to kick this area of carpet up to make it look like it had been ripped up. He then went into Kate's bedroom and started rummaging through her knicker drawer.
I know, it was so funny because Amy saw him and was like, "I can see you doing that." And he's like, "What? What?"
They would also fully open all of our drawers in the kitchen, in the bathroom.
Sorry, do you guys remember? This is going to make us sound bad, but you guys used to share an ensuite and you had that toilet seat. And because you used to fake tan so much, the toilet seat turned orange and they were saying that we'd have to replace the toilet seat. And we're like, "It's just fake tan, like we can clean it off."
I think that's happened to a lot of people. One of my friends said that her toilet seat turned orange. Maybe in our Facebook community, people can let us know if they've had the same experience.
I think what you have to do is because I'm aware of it now, anytime I've done a fake tan and sit down, I have to get the toilet paper and scrub around it immediately.
I more make a little cushioning of toilet paper around the bowl. So you're sitting on the toilet paper. You know how you do that in toilets.
How did we get onto toilet talk again? This is disgusting. This is becoming quite a common thing.
Well, this is making me so happy to own my own house and hopefully never have to go through this rental inspection process again. But really, our experience with this landlord escalated to the point where, so they demanded that we had a re-inspection because the floor was streaky. Now, we have a friend that is like a professional in this area, and they said that there's no way that you can say that the floor has streaks in it. Like, that is not a offense that you have to have a re-inspection for.
That's the thing. The whole idea behind an inspection is so they can basically come in and see if it's tidy or if there's bloody holes in the wall or if you've ruined something. It's not to judge your cleaning.
Anyway, so with this re-inspection, we didn't want to be there because we felt like this landlord had harassed us, like opening up our drawers and whatnot. So
just looking at your underpants and whatnot.
So our mum was a legend and decided that she would be at the house when this re-inspection was going on. And you know when your mum doesn't really know how to use her mobile phone? So they started, I think, opening something. Yeah, they tried to open the kitchen drawers, which they're actually not legally allowed in South Australia to do.
We also had a camera set up in one of the bedrooms just in case to see if he rummaged again.
Anyway, mum knew this, but she decided that she would start filming the person inspecting on her phone. And the person goes, "Are you filming me?" Mum's like, "I think so." And so basically this rental property inspector then called the police on our mum because he said that she filmed him without his consent. Now, the police rocked up. It gets that crazy. And they came in and they're like, "What's going on?" And mum explained it was a re-inspection. And the police officer said, "I have a rental. And if the girls want to live there, they can because this place is absolutely spotless."
But the best part about that was mum actually had been recording them and she came home after and showed us the video. And it was so funny because she's like, they're like, "Are you filming us?" And she's like, "I have no idea what I'm doing on my phone. I don't know if I'm filming. I don't know if I'm not. But I'm going to continue rolling."
Yeah. And it's safe to say that the woman whose house we were renting from had severe OCD.
Yeah, exactly right. So, yeah, that's our story. Fortunately, we managed to rent after this process because you have to list these people on your bloody reference. Mm. So they were bagging us out to a whole bunch of prospective houses.
The best thing is I have been in my rental now for almost a year and we have had no inspections.
I would really love to see if it's just us that have had this shitty experience or are other people dealing with landlords from hell.
My landlords are amazing right now. I think it's just this particular landlord, but go into our group and tell us if you've had a similar experience.
"No, I'm sick of it. Let her do it herself. She's a grown girl, man. We want to do our own shit. Clean our own shit. Clean our own shit. It's a fucking normal thing. Clean your own fucking shit."
On Wednesday night, A Current Affair led its national bulletin with a story about notorious Instagram account Celeb Spellcheck. The package teased it would unveil the identity behind the account, but it did nothing more than disappoint millennials and Gen Zers who tuned in. For those who didn't see it, what was covered in this special report, Amy?
Well, to be honest, there really wasn't much that was covered in this report. It touted itself as a special investigation, but there really wasn't much investigative journalism going on. The story was covered by journalist Seb Costello, and he basically interviewed mummy blogger Olivia White, who she'd appeared on Celeb Spellcheck after she mistaken a capsicum for a cucumber. And the story was basically her just pretending that she wasn't bothered by the page when she clearly was.
Firstly, the choice of journalist was very puzzling because it was quite clear Seb Costello did not follow Celeb Spellcheck nor knew much about it. You would have thought they would have picked a younger, potentially female member of the team to do this investigation.
He is quite young. I would say he would be one of the younger reporters at A Current Affair.
Yeah, but he's hardly the key demographic of Celeb Spellcheck, which I'm assuming is 90% women.
Yeah, exactly right. I did not see him as a key demographic nor someone that was interested in the page. And that was fairly obvious when you watched the show because literally, it just presented some funny gaffes that had been made. And it was very much focused on what the name says in the title, the spelling errors. However, Celeb Spellcheck has evolved into much more than that. The page really took off when she started holding influencers to account. And there was none of that. I mean, as you said, Amy, they had Olivia White on the show and there was no mention of the fact that Celeb Spellcheck had called her out for the Alibaba glasses. And for anyone who doesn't know that story, we did a whole podcast episode that we'll link in the show notes about it. But essentially, Olivia created these glasses that she said were modeled off her mother and her grandmother's bodies. However, they actually were glasses that she purchased from Alibaba for like $2 and she was selling them for about $50 to $70. So it was very strange that A Current Affair didn't seem to want to interview her about that, which is basically the essence of why Celeb Spellcheck's page is so popular.
They probably had no idea that she was even doing it. It was clear they had not much of an idea of what Celeb Spellcheck was, even in the promo when they're like, "And it pays out celebrities and sports stars." It really doesn't. It's mainly influencers.
Since when is Sarah's Day a sports star? Like, it's just ridiculous.
The other thing they seem to fail to capture is the fact that during COVID, people have revolted against the idea of influencers and what they stand for. They could have actually done a great investigative piece looking at why that's the case and why so many people are actually enjoying this content.
So if you don't be silly, they did interview an academic. My favourite part of the whole story was when they spoke to Dr. Brent Cocker from the University of Melbourne, and he said such basic information. He said that influencers should expect to receive negative feedback. I mean, isn't that groundbreaking? But what cracked cracked me up was that Sophie and I used to work at Today Tonight, which is of course the old rival of A Current Affair. And whenever we wanted to do stories that were based off Instagram, I remember the boss would say you had to go down and speak to someone at the university to give the story credit. But the whole thing was, why didn't they speak to a lawyer like we did in our interview about Celeb Spellcheck? It made no sense.
Or a social commentator.
Yeah. Or do you know what would have just been basic journalism 101? Let's head out to the streets and ask the public. Let's ask some millennials or Gen Zers what they think of it. And they might have actually captured what the feeling about Celeb Spellcheck is.
Yeah, exactly right. Because it was, I mean, I'm very shocked that Olivia White allowed to be interviewed. She did actually go onto her Instagram story after seeing the preview and said, oh God, like this is not what I thought it would be. And I'm thinking, well, what did you think it would be?
Well, it was absolutely hilarious when the journo Seb asked Olivia, oh, do you know who Celeb Spellcheck is? And she basically replied that, you know, no, she doesn't. And she's not too bothered about it. Well, why are you being interviewed about it?
I know, that was so funny. It's like, yeah, I'm not bothered, but I've just given up my day to be on TV. I did find it funny though, because when I saw the preview, I thought that they might be putting forward their guesses of who Celeb Spellcheck is, because we've seen in other publications that a lot of people are pointing their fingers towards a person that works in the media that's from Melbourne. Like they didn't even have a list of the stats on what we know about Celeb Spellcheck.
And they didn't even speak about how many socialites in Melbourne are actually trying to track her down and are threatening legal action against her.
It was very strange. There was no mention of the defamation, none of the drama, which A Current Affair is usually very much about. It was very perplexing.
Do you guys think it was a good move for Olivia to appear on the program?
No, I don't really think it was a very good idea, because for those who didn't know the backstory about what Celeb Spellcheck actually said about Olivia and thought it was just a gaffe over capsicum and cucumber, it made her look a bit pathetic.
Yeah, well, even looking at it from a journalistic perspective as of someone who has worked at one of these shows before, when you develop story ideas, we're always told to think of the lowest common denominator, because that is generally an A Current Affair style program's audience. So it's the battlers at home. It's, you know, middle-aged people. So in gauging whether it was a good idea for her to be on there, she probably gained a whole bunch of followers that probably do fall into her demographic.
That is a good point. I did notice that A Current Affair pitched a lot of their stories at the Gen Z millennial market. And I do feel like perhaps this was an attempt to attract that audience, but I feel like they failed miserably, because the feedback in our community and generally online was that the story was absolutely crap.
It did work pretty well for them. They won their time slot and were the sixth most watched show on TV last night with 774,000 viewers. But if you compare those figures to the same time last week, they only had 3,000 extra viewers.
And even if they did get a whole bunch of new viewers, I doubt that they would have retained any of them moving forward.
Not only did the report fall really short, but people were really disappointed, because originally it was advertised that they were going to have the segment on Tuesday night. So people sat through the whole A Current Affair program to be told then at the last minute, oh no, that story will actually be appearing on Wednesday night.
Do you guys think that was their intention to kind of hook people for over two episodes? Or do you think it was because the Australia Post story had kind of just broken? Because when that went on, I was like, Reese, flick over to The Project, and it was also on The Project. So I think it potentially could have been bumped out.
Well, there are situations where I have seen that happen, you know, working at Today Tonight before. So it could well have happened.
What a punishment for people, though, who were thinking, oh, I'm going to watch this fun Celeb Spellcheck story. And what did they watch? I mean, I saw A Current Affair the other night, and there was a complaint about somebody having an Australian flag up in their backyard. It's hardly hard-hitting stories there.
No. Well, I was actually pretty disappointed, because I think the story has a lot of legs and it could be a really great story. But yeah, as we said, they really failed.
We do have to understand who's making these decisions in the newsrooms. It's a lot of older men who probably don't understand how important or interesting this story is to young people. And what really do we expect from A Current Affair at the end of the day?
Living is basically slaying and living your best life into one word. It's the new That's Hot.
We're taking a quick break from the episode to tell you a little bit more about today's episode sponsor, Malini. The Melbourne-based shoe label has just dropped their new autumn collection, and what I love most is there is such a huge range to choose from boots with a heel to flats and an array of different colours and styles. You're sure to find something that you love. Malini has kindly offered Outspoken listeners a 20% discount. Head to Malini, which is MOLLINI.com.au, and use the discount code 20OUTSPOKEN to shop now.
should all be like sisters and we should all have each other's backs. But, oh, fuck, who knows? These girls are hard work, aren't they?
As a big Real Housewives of Melbourne fan, I'm so disappointed. The cast for the fifth series has been revealed and there's no Gina and Lydia.
I was pretty surprised because they actually announced the season 5 cast around this time last year, and the show went into production with Gina and Lydia. However, it had to halt for COVID, and now suddenly they're not on it and they've got 4 new housewives.
Do you think that it could have been a decision that was made by Lydia and Gina?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Lydia's come out on social media and basically said the break gave her time to realize how important her family was in her life. So it seems like maybe she's not doing Housewives this year for family reasons. But Gina hasn't really said too much. She just wished everybody luck and said that she'd miss everyone.
Yeah, I saw Gina's post and was very confused because I actually saw that and then saw the announcement. And I was like, what? Like, Gina Liano is Melbourne Housewives. I wonder, though, if Lydia is saving face, because seeing her character and persona on the show, I wouldn't think that she would like being cut from the show and she'd want some sort of an excuse.
There is no way they would have axed Lydia and Gina, because that would have meant they would have only had 2 long-standing cast members in Gamble Bro and Janet Roach left.
I am really excited, though, because they are bringing Jackie back, and I feel like that decision has come about because Gina and Lydia have gone. Because, I mean, I'm not really that interested in the new people. All the new people they've brought on haven't been very good and haven't lasted very long. I'm also extra excited about Jackie returning because she has been documenting her IVF process on Instagram, and I really hope that they showcase that on the television show because I think it's a really important message for women, and she's been very positive and open about the whole thing.
Well, people are also upset because they thought that Petty Fleur might come back after her appearance on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I would have liked to have seen Gamble and Petty Fleur team up together because we had Gamble on the podcast, I think it was around this time last year, and we'll have to put a link to it in the show notes. And she was saying that she's become quite good friends with Petty Fleur, but on the show, they were enemies.
We'll have to let listeners in on a little secret. We actually...
Well, it's not a secret.
Well, not really a secret, but we actually appeared for a brief moment on Real Housewives of Melbourne during Gamble's son's 21st birthday.
This was a real flex moment. We were invited to Gamble's son's birthday because Soph and Amy have done some PR work for her, and we, well, I was going to say we happened to be in Melbourne, but we did drop everything and fly across.
I love it. You could blink and you would miss us in the show. It's actually hilarious. We'll have to find the screenshot somewhere.
No, let's see if anyone is a real big fan of Melbourne Housewives. Let's see if anyone can spot us because it's pretty funny.
Also, if anyone's actually interested, I feel like we could do a story time on our experience watching them film the show because it really did put things into perspective. I mean, I still think it's very real, but I just didn't know how much the producers really played into it.
Yeah. We saw a walkout. There was a massive walkout moment and they stormed past us and we were kind of just sitting eating food and we're like, God, I hope I'm not in the background.
Yeah. But anyway, if anyone does want to hear about that, we can go into it on another episode.
The victim card again because we're not gonna wear it.
I'm the fucking queen. Fuck you.
In the next segment, we touch on matters involving mental health and suicide. If you are struggling, please reach out to Lifeline on 13 11 14.
Now, moving on to some Bachelor news, and Colton Underwood, who was the former US Bachelor, and he was really known for being the Virgin Bachelor, he has come out as gay. And I thought this was so brave of him, particularly when you hear more about his story. So, Sophie, can you fill us in?
Well, Colton shared this news in an interview he did with Good Morning America on Wednesday, and he said that it was earlier this year that he actually came to terms with his sexuality. Here's what he said.
I've ran from myself for a long time. I've hated myself for a long time, and I'm gay, and I came to terms with that earlier this year and have been processing it. And the next step in all of this was sort of letting people know. I'm still nervous, but it's been a journey for sure. I got into a place for me in my personal life that was dark and bad, and I can list a bunch of different things, but they'd all be excuses. But I think overall the reason why now is because I got to a place where I didn't think I was ever going to share this. I would have rather died than say I'm gay. There was a moment in LA that I woke up and I didn't think I was gonna wake up. I didn't have the intentions of waking up, and I did. And I think for me, that was like my wake up call of like, this is your life. Take back control. Looking back even beyond that is like, even just suicidal thoughts and, you know, driving my car close to a cliff, like, oh, if this goes off the cliff, it's not that big of a deal. I don't feel that anymore. I literally remember praying to God the morning I found out that I was a bachelor and thanking him for making me straight. I remember that vividly of saying, like, finally, you're letting me be straight. Finally, you're giving me a wife, a fiance, and then I'm gonna have the kids, and then I'm gonna have the house, and then I'm gonna have all this. One thing about being labeled the virgin bachelor is I fully was a virgin before that, and I could never give anybody a good enough answer of why I was a virgin. The truth is, I was a virgin bachelor because I was gay and I didn't know how to handle it.
It really breaks my heart to hear his voice shaking during this. And as you said, Kate, I think it is so incredibly brave for him to come out and be so open about his sexuality in this way, particularly knowing that he was going to cop some flack for putting himself out there as the bachelor.
Yeah, I feel like there'll be a lot of people out there questioning his motives around going on The Bachelor. And for those who didn't see the full interview, he explained that because he grew up Catholic, he saw being invited onto The Bachelor as a sign that he should really try with women. So it's all very messy. I mean, he really got a name for himself, as I said, for being the virgin on The Bachelor, and then also for his outlandish actions when he was chasing after Cassie Randolph. And then again, he was in the news for allegedly stalking Cassie. So it's very much a sad story. And I feel like when I heard this news, I wasn't really surprised because I felt like the Colton that we saw on The Bachelor wasn't truly himself.
Yeah, it's so brave of him to come out as well, because I feel like it's going to help so many people in America and all around the world, because he clearly thought he couldn't come out because of his religion. And
well, also coming from a sports background. Yeah. I mean, people don't realize he was a professional athlete before appearing on The Bachelor.
It's so hard.
The thing that's really sad as well is that he shared the fact that since the age of 6, he has actually felt very different and knew that he was gay. He said he used to wake up in the morning and pray for God to take the gay away from him. He said, aww, I used to pray for him to change me. I literally remember praying to God the morning I found out I was on The Bachelor and thanking him for making me straight. I remember that vividly and saying, finally, you're letting me be straight. Finally, you're giving me a wife, a fiance. And despite the fact that he's now said he's the happiest he's ever been, he did open up that his sexuality got him into a really dark place where he did have some suicidal thoughts.
It's just so sad in this day and age that people still feel like they have to hide who they really are. My heart really breaks for him, and I'm just so happy that he is able to share his story with everyone, because as Amy, you said earlier, it's going to help so many people.
It also shows what a huge moment this was for him, because he said that in the past he would have rather died than say that he was gay.
God. Well, does this open the doors for a more diverse bachelor? I mean, last year, America finally had their first black bachelor, which was ridiculous it took this long. But wouldn't it be amazing to get Colton back on the show and actually have him choose between men? I mean, that would just be an amazing show to watch.
Well, since the interview actually aired, the executive producers of The Bachelor showed their support for Colton and really praised him for coming out and speaking what they called his truth. They said, "We are so inspired by Colton Underwood's courage to embrace and pursue his authentic self." So I think it is great that the show has come out and supported him in this way.
I would not be surprised if Colton appears again as a bachelor. Yeah. But as a gay bachelor, and wouldn't that be amazing to watch?
Well, interestingly, he's deleted all his posts on Instagram. Aww. So
I do wonder how, if Cassie Randolph is going to come out and say something, or whether he has spoken to her before having this interview.
Well, I really hope she doesn't come out and publicly speak, because this is clearly a very private matter, and I think Colton has done an excellent job at sharing his truth, and I don't think we need any more speculation about what's been going on.
I think there is room for her to come out and say something, because it is something that has impacted her life as well, and it is something that a number of other women may be able to relate to, have found themselves in a similar position. I think she has to be respectful, of course, but people may want to see how she's feeling after this has come out.
I do think potentially if she comes out as an ally to Colton. However, it seems like it was a bit of a messy breakup, and there was a lot going on in terms of her getting restraining orders and that sort of thing against him. So I just hope whatever is said in a positive, supportive way.
Yeah. And that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, can you please make sure you are subscribed and also leave us a 5-star rating. If you want to join in on the conversation, join us in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community. Or why not show us where you're listening from? You can tag us on Instagram at @outspoken_the_podcast. Thank you again to today's sponsor, Malini Shoes. From everyday boots to urban style combat boots, you are sure to find something that you will love. Also, the team are based in Melbourne, so why not support local? Their new autumn range is absolutely beautiful. So head to Malini, which is MOLLINI.com.au to find out more. And don't forget to use the discount code 20OUTSPOKEN to get 20% off your next purchase.